This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Friday, January 4th, 2013. Some 160,000 low-income Colorado adults could become eligible for public health care assistance under a plan Governor John Hickenlooper announced yesterday. The Denver Post reports that Hickenlooper's plan expands Medicaid coverage for adults as called for by the new federal health care law. Hickenlooper says the expansion would cost Colorado some $128 million over the next 10 years, but he has identified more than $280 million in cuts and savings to Medicaid to more than cover the change. The Post reports that the proposed expansion would allow single adults earning less than about $15,400 a year to receive Medicaid. According to state analysts, about 15% of Coloradans didn't have health insurance in 2011. The Medicaid overhaul is one of the two main ways the federal health care law expands coverage to most of the 50 million uninsured U.S. residents. As a broader Medicaid safety net picks up more low-income people, new health insurance markets, called exchanges, will offer subsidized private coverage to the middle class. The Post reports that Hickenlooper's price tag for his Medicaid proposal is dramatically lower than what outside groups have projected, but he will still have to persuade lawmakers to agree to it. In coal country, coal bumps and rock bursts are quite common. It's one of the dangers of underground coal mining. Once in a while, these bumps are large enough to attract attention. Scientists recorded a small earthquake late Wednesday night, early yesterday morning in the coal country near Paonia. The U.S. Geological Survey reported a magnitude 2.8 quake at 12:35 a.m. Thursday morning, centered about 4 miles east of Paonia. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports working coal mines in the area have been known to register small-scale quakes because of their mining operations. Bruce Presgrave, a geophysicist with the USGS, said, quote, "We don't know for certain, but this is probably a coal bump or a rock burst in one of the coal mines there," end quote. A coal bump happens when a pillar of coal suddenly fails, often violently. Rock bursts are caused by heavy pressure on brittle rocks deep in mines around an excavation. Dave Walney, an adjunct faculty member at Colorado Mesa University, said, quote, this one is a little bigger than normal, maybe, but it's not out of the range of what we would expect. He said the school's network of seismometers record these small-scale, man-caused seismic events all the time. And he explained it this way, quote, "What they do is they mine the coal with a machine, and the miners stay off to the side. As they remove the coal, all the weight from above it just collapses behind them. And every time it collapses, it causes a little earthquake," end quote. According to Presgrave, Thursday's 2.8 quake near Paonia just barely made it over the 2.5 minimum threshold for the quake to be published by the USGS. KVNF has not yet been able to contact the mines for confirmation. The Wright Opera House has a new owner and will soon be getting a new roof. The Watch reports the old theater building, which is celebrating its 125th anniversary this year, landed a $28,500 grant from the State Historical Fund to replace its roof. Ridgeway resident Joshua Gowans will become the first executive director of the nonprofit group Friends of the Wright Opera House. The Watch reports that Gowans moved to the area with his wife, Heather Hart, about 2 years ago after working at the Baltimore Humane Society and the Humane Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals in Columbia, South Carolina. Since moving to Ridgeway, he worked in the software development field and ran the Second Chance Humane Society's recent capital campaign to acquire the Angel Ridge Ranch, where his wife works as shelter manager. During the same period, Opera House board members purchased the historic building in 2011 with the vision of preserving and renovating it as a center for the performing arts. After last year's ambitious new summer music series, the all-volunteer board was beginning to feel overworked and realized they needed an executive director. Gowans was approached by the board. He studied nonprofit leadership and management training at Harvard Business School, and he was asked to come on board. Gowans told the Watch he welcomed the opportunity to get back into nonprofit management. He says his job is to implement the board's objectives, and to keep the board as effective and efficient as possible. The Watch reports that overseeing the roof replacement will consume much of Gowans' time and energy over the coming year, but once that is underway, Gowan will work on the building's foundation. When these structural repairs are complete, the group can start on improvements to the building's interior. The Senate has approved a recovery program for the 4 endangered fish of the Colorado River. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that the Senate unanimously passed the measure on Monday. Chris Treese, spokesman for the Colorado River Water Conservation District, says once the bill is signed, it will remove a significant uncertainty for water users in the basin. The Sentinel reports that the program allows for the continued development of the river and its tributaries for irrigation, storage, and other uses with the cooperation of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, also with state officials and other agencies. Reauthorization clears the way for $25 million in spending on efforts to restore populations of the Colorado pike minnow, razorback sucker, humpback chub, and the bony tail. The recovery program operates several facilities in the Grand Valley, including fish ladders on the Gunnison River south of Grand Junction and on the Colorado River in DeBeck Canyon. And now for the latest look at our night skies from the Black Canyon Astronomical Society.
Do you know when the Earth is nearest the Sun? It's January 4th, during what is typically the coldest part of our winter. Seasons are caused by the tilt of the Earth's rotation axis, not by our distance from the Sun. When the Northern Hemisphere is tilted away from the Sun in late December and January, we experience deep winter, while the Southern Hemisphere is tilted toward the Sun and experiencing summer. From January 4th through the 17th, the night sky is relatively dark because the moon is between last and first quarter. On January 11th, the dark new moon is near the sun and invisible to us. But at 5:45 p.m. on January 12th, a thin crescent moon will appear just to the right of ruddy-colored Mars in the southwest. On the next night, the 13th, the waxing lunar crescent will stand directly above Mars. Because the moon is relatively dark at this time, we can see the winter stars and constellations in all their splendor. If you look east in the early evening, you'll see the bright stars of constellation Orion rising, including reddish Betelgeuse and blue-white Rigel. High in the eastern sky stands the planet Jupiter, the largest planet in our solar system and the brightest object in early January's evening sky, except for the moon. For the past several months, Jupiter's been moving through the constellation Taurus, the Bull, which features the bright orange star, Aldebaran, and two famous star clusters, the Hyades and the Pleiades. This month, the Hyades can be found between Aldebaran and Jupiter, and the Pleiades cluster, also known as the Seven Sisters, stands above Jupiter. You've been listening to Western Slope Skies, produced by members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. I'm Mark Trevina.
Thus concludes today's newscast. I'm Brian Cambria for KVNF News.